Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Your lesson plan. Before you turn to a scripture, I'm going to ask everyone to stand up and squeeze in real quick. We have people come in. Just real quick, just stand up and squeeze in. There, you did it. There, you squeezed. Because no one's standing up. I was like, no, we're not going to do that this morning. Okay. You don't have to listen either. You guys see me okay? Because someone told me last week that you couldn't see me in this tan camel. Really, this guy was sitting halfway back and he yells across the room, I can't see you. And I was like, I didn't get it. Because I had the green on last 2 weeks ago, I thought he just kind of all blend in, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know if I should be offended, so I went home. I said, Debbie, should I be offended? She said, no, it was really funny. You just got, yes, okay, funny is funny. Okay. I'm going to ask a group of people to stand up, and I want you to listen very closely to how I describe that group of people. If you are involved in any ministry, not attend a small group. Now, if you host one or facilitate one, it's a different story. But if you're involved in any ministry here at the church in any capacity, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Okay? Very good. Let's give those people a hand. Stay standing. These are the people that make it happen here at The Rock as volunteers. Now, I want everyone who's standing only to answer this question. Who's the man?
Jesus!
Okay, now, don't sit down yet. All these people standing represent a fraction of the firepower potential we have. Everyone say fraction. Now, I want everyone else who's sitting to stand up. Yeah. This is the firepower potential we have. Now everyone in the room say Jesus.
Jesus!
There's a big difference between when some of us work and when all of us work. Today's message is designed to get all of y'all who are standing to be involved in ministry. That's what we're here for today. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon the hearts of everyone in this room that there's something you want them to do. There is something you want them to do. And I pray you make it clear to them. I pray you motivate them, encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the person next to you, say, I'm ready to step up. Let's turn, did we do this yet? I'm kind of already sick of my head. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And let me constantly remind you, it is in your bulletin. There is a flyer on Easter. We will not be here. We will be at Cox Arena. We're going to have one service for the whole church, all five services, at Cox Arena in the morning. Good Friday, we will be at OAT with the Katinas. If you do not know who the Katinas are, trust me. Trust me, you want to be there, okay? Whether you can dance or not, you'll be just doing something because it is, trust me, you'll be like, oh my goodness. The Katinas are five biological brothers. They're Samoans, and I've known them for 15 years, and we're like family, and these boys can bring it. Worship, just the whole nine. You want to be there. That's Good Friday. And then on Easter Sunday, please be praying about who you're going to bring to Easter that doesn't know Christ. Don't invite people from other churches. I mean, you can, but that's not the goal. The goal is people don't go to church. Amen? Amen. Matthew 24. Lord, we just pray that you develop an army. Strengthen our forces today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look in your notes, it says, An army is a group of people trained and armed for war. The Rock Salvation Army is a group of people trained and armed to fight for the souls of unbelievers. Every soldier is required to serve. Now, as I told you a minute ago, my goal today is that all of y'all would say, I'm ready to serve. We're in the middle of a series called The Salvation Army. That's why we're dressed like this. We don't do this every week. And we're in the third week. A was accountability relationships. We talked about everyone needing to have an accountability relationship with somebody, that we're not just one of a sea of people, that there's someone that will look you in the eye and ask you hard questions. R is reaching out to the lost. Again, that not only do you have accountability, but you're committed to reaching out to lost people, inviting lost people to church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tuesday, I was on Fox News talking about Christians and politics, and it was a six-minute interview. And right after the interview ended, they showed a preview of a clip they were going to show after the commercial on intelligent design. And so I said, I want to come back. I want to talk about that. And they said, well, it's happening today. I said, well, can I come back tomorrow? And they said, sure. So they let me come back the next day and debate intelligent design. And they also invited a professor of evolution, an anthropologist from UCSD. So I'm thinking, man, I'm going up against a professor. He studied apes and monkeys in Africa, and you know, he's going to come with all his knowledge because he's been to college and actually teaches in college. And I'm sitting there, okay, I'm going to get him. So now you have to understand something. The guy is really a nice guy. I mean, I wasn't like maliciously want to get him, but I definitely wanted to beat down his argument. And so I had 24 hours to get ready. But, you know, I was kind of ready already. It was a 6-7 discussion. Hopefully we're going to get the tape. Hopefully we'll put on it. But the reason I bring it up is because we email people in the church to watch it, and some people actually had their non-Christian friends watch it and then discuss it, because he was arguing the thought that the concept that evolution is the answer, and my argument was no, intelligent design. And so he tried to say, well, we both agree. And I said, no, we don't agree. You know, he says, we both agree that we've come from a common ancestor. We don't come from a common ancestor. God created man, he created animals, he created bugs all separately. And he says, well, after, because I said one of the big questions, problems you guys have who believe in evolution, because he says evolution answers all the questions. I said, one of the big questions you don't answer is, where did everything that you say is evolving come from? It's one thing to say, oh, there's a car and it works, and here's how it works, so I'm a mechanic. Well, where did the car come from? That's a big if. Then he says, well, after we have everything, he started, you know, backing up, after we have everything, the cell, and, you know, the very complex cell and all this stuff, then evolution explains. I says, whoa, you have to understand something, brother. That's a big if. That's a big what if. My point is this, is that you can reach out to lost people just by showing, watching something simple like that and talking about it. Okay? So we did A, accountability relationship. That, hey, if I go to Rock, I'm accountable to somebody. R, I'm going to reach out to lost people. And today we're going to talk about M, ministry and service. If you are a Christian, being involved in ministry is being a Christian. Now, in America, where we are very privileged and very blessed and very affluent, if you are on government assistance today, welfare, HUD, whatever you want to call it, Section 8, whatever it is, if you are on government assistance, you are affluent compared to people in the world. You have no clue. In Uganda, a police officer makes $30 a month. I was there. I seen the cops. They make $30 a month. Police officer. Now, so in America, because we're so affluent, so blessed, and so spoiled, beyond what we imagine, a lot of times, ministers and pastors and churches try to convince people who are Christians to give up something they've already given up. When you say, I'm a Christian, you give up all your rights to God. That's what it means. Now, you might not have realized what you did. But you said, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner, and I you know, everything I am, my whole life is yours. And God said, thank you, and by the time he said you've already grabbed it all back. And then he wants some time. You go, well, I thought you already gave that to me. He wants your skills. He wants some of your money. I thought you already gave that to me, God says. So what we're going to talk about today is you giving up some of your time to serve other people. You've already given up that right. I want to remind you of that. I'm not trying to convince you to do something you haven't committed to do. Are you following me on this? And so if you feel kind of like I'm getting in your business, don't blame me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I don't want to be in your business. I really don't want to be in your business. I'm about God's business. Now, if God gets in your grill, that's your grill, in your face, your mug. If he gets in your grill, that's between you and him. When I describe, tell you this story, if it appears like I'm telling you that if you don't serve, you're going to go to hell, I'm not telling you that. Now, Jesus might say that. Or you might think he's saying that, but I'm not saying that. But what I am saying to you, that if you've really given your life to Christ, it will be evidenced by you serving people. You can't not serve people and walk with Christ sincerely for very long. You just can't, because that's what he wants to do, and he only does it through people. Let's read. The book of Matthew is divided up into five different sermons that Christ teaches. One is the Sermon on the Mount, and it's about kingdom ethics, chapters 5 to 7. Another sermon is kingdom warfare in Matthew 10, where Jesus sends out his disciples. Another sermon is kingdom parables, chapter 13. Kingdom discipleship is chapters 18 and 19. And then the Olivet Discourse, which is a sermon he gives on the Mount of Olives, which we're going to look today, is called, I call it Kingdom Come. He answers a question, how will we know when you're coming back? If you look at chapters 24, verse 3, it says, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him and said, privately, tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? How will we know the end has come? So he talks, chapters 24 and 25, as is recorded here, and he tells the story. One of them, part of it was the parable of the talents. But what we're going to look at today is the very end of the Olivet Discourse, the discourse or teaching on the Mount of Olives. And it's in chapter 25, verse 31. Chapter 25, verse 31. Look what it says. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Notice that Jesus has his angels, he has his own glory, he has his own throne. Only God has those things. If you ever want to think about it, Jesus ever say he was God? And we'll get into that in a series after Easter. After Easter, we're going to go through a whole series called Who Is Jesus Really? And we're going to discuss who was Jesus, who do you think he was, et cetera, et cetera. And we're also going to start a Saturday night service on April 3rd, the week after Easter. We're going to start a Saturday night service. So we'll let you know more about that. Amen. You're clapping. Thank you. It says in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one as another as a shepherd divides his sheep. And he will set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Let me give you a visual. Goats over here and sheep over here. Everyone go, baa. You don't want to be a goat. You don't want to be a goat. You want to be a sheep. You want to be on the right, say right. You don't want to be a goat. These are no good. These are going to hell. You want to be a sheep. So let me give you, amen. Let me give you sheep qualifications. All I'm telling you is what the master has told us. Look what it says. Verse 34. The king will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Let me just give you one more little tangential thought. The greatest thing about being designed by God, the greatest thing about being created by God, is that when God created you, he created you with a purpose. He created you with an eternal destiny. If you evolved, you are an object of random choice and an accident. You have no eternal purpose. Because you're just a result of science. Science doesn't have its own mind. God has given science its intelligence. The DNA in all of your cells has enough information to fill 200 phone books of 1,000 pages each. That much information is in your DNA. Where did that information come from? God. He gave you, he designed you with a purpose. And from the foundation of the world, he has been preparing a place for you. That's an amazing thought. That every single one of you is that special to God. That since before the foundations of the earth, God has been preparing someplace for you. If you've ever had low self-esteem or low self-image or bad self-image, let that fire you up. I am special to God. Everyone say that. I am special to God. You are. Not because you're cute or ugly or tall or thin or dark or light or got good hair or no good hair. It don't matter. You may have no hair. You may have fake hair. You may have Mr. Ed's hair, Wilbur. It don't matter. Look at verse 35. It says, here's what he says to those people. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. The righteous, the sheep, the ones on the right will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? We don't get it. The king will answer and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. What? He says, let me tell you something. Whenever you help one of those people, you help me. You didn't even know it, huh? No, I didn't know it. Whenever you help one of those people, you were helping me. Now, let's keep reading. Because look what he says to the goats. Verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left hand, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If you ever want to know why the hell is there, it's for the devil. You do not want to go to a place that was designed for the devil. You remember when you were a little kid, if you ever have a brother or sister, and they did something wrong and you both got punished? Anybody? There was five kids in our family. It's five kids sleeping in two bedrooms. My two brothers and I slept in a bedroom, three of us, and my two sisters. So it's three of us in one room and two of us in another room. Remember the bunk beds and, you know, the whole nine. And we all five of us, matter of fact, at one time, all seven of us had one bathroom in the house. So it was like hours awake. My brother did something wrong? If my mother or father couldn't decipher what happened, we all got in trouble. Or my father, we were driving, you know, up somewhere, and we had a station wagon, and if someone was messing up in the back, my father wasn't going to stop the car, get out, and pull one kid out and whoop him. We got whoopings. He would just whoop everybody. Woo! We were like this in the back. Woo! We laugh all the time. He's like, Dad, you were ballistic. And he just started laughing. He was just like, be quiet. And he was just like, whoosh, there'd be a wind tunnel in the car. Whack. You do not want to get punished with the punishment designed for the devil who has designed child molestation. He created rape and murder. He put thoughts in Ted Bundy's mind. You do not want to go to a place that God designed for that person. That devil. You don't have to. But look what he says here. He says here, verse 41, he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. And then he says, I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't come to me and visit me. Then they will answer, say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will answer and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. First, let me tell you what this is not saying. It doesn't mean that every time you see someone in need, you've got to do something or you're going to go to hell. It means that you need to be available for whatever. Remember, when you got saved, you realized you were going to hell. Your life was gone. And you said, Lord, I give up. Here I am. And he says, good. And over time, you got comfortable. And you start saying, well, maybe not. You can't have my time. Maybe you can't have my money. Maybe you can't have my clothes. Maybe you can't have my intelligence, my skills. And God said, oh, man, I thought you got saved. I thought you surrendered your life to me. The reason we are here, is to fulfill God's mission. The only way we can do that is if we all do what God calls us to do. Now, look in your notes. Ministry to the least of these does four things that I'm going to talk about today. One, it does not look for recognition. The least of these cannot increase your status, pay you back, or always express gratitude. Sometimes when you help people, you are not even going to get a thank you. And guess what? That's okay. Everyone say that's okay. That is fine. You don't do it for the thank you. You do it that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's it. You will never, ever get enough thank yous for what good you do. And guess what? You will never, ever get enough punishment for the bad you do. Because if you got the equal punishment, you'd be dead now. We would be dead. We would not have been forgiven. If God gave you everything you deserved, good and bad, you'd be dead. He would have never waited for you to repent. He would have killed you out the womb. Because you were a sinner. We have many ministries here. I want to highlight a few. And when you leave here, I'm sure you saw the balloons when you walked in. We're going to want all y'all to go out there and sign up for something. Here's the goal. Between today and Easter, which is 21 days, 3 weeks, that you would say, I'm going to sign up and volunteer here. Even for 60 days. You tell them, I want to try it out. But you say, I'm in. There's every single one of you have skills, spiritual gifts that God is like, I want to use. We have parking ministry. Y'all see it every Sunday. They need 100 volunteers. Now, I'm not talking about 100 people to sign up. 100 people to show up. And that applies to all the ministries that I'm going to give you, because the sign-up rate and the show-up rate is two different things. They have people there that are all day doing parking. And then we go to a Saturday night service, it's a whole nother, we need another crew. So we need people to say, you know what, I'm going to go out there and park. Some of y'all can do this. I know it. I believe that that's true. You know you want to wear that vest. Ushers. We need 25 ushers a service. We have 10, and sometimes the 10 is the same 10 all day. They go from one service. Why? Because there's no one here. We should have ushers all around this room, every service, just guiding people, directing people, and serving people. I'm a new person coming. Where do I go? And there's no one to tell me. Why? Because we don't have enough people guiding and directing and answer questions. I know 100 of you can sign up to be an usher. I know that. You can smile, you can talk, you can point, you can answer questions. It's really simple. Your life will change. Pebbles Ministry. Pebbles Ministry is our children's church. There's over 500 kids every week in Pebbles Ministry. Now, you have to understand, the average church is 90 people. There were 500 of your children. There's two groups of people that can help. One, all you parents that have kids. You have a child? Once a month, you should say, here I am. I want to help. That's like a given. You should say, I'm here to help. Why? Because we're all in this together. Your children in there learning about the Lord. Go in there. It's not babysitting. They are learning about the Lord. And partner in there. Maybe you can learn something also about how to teach your kids about the Lord by what they're doing. What a great opportunity. Some of y'all are learning to work with kids and to be a teacher. Some of y'all were moms before and used to change a diaper in 3 seconds flat. What? You want to resharpen your skills? We got opportunities for you. They need about 100 people. I'm going to throw 100 around a lot just because that's a good number. But it's true. But if all you parents that have babies and children says, I'm here for one, and when you go there today, just tell them I'm here for 1 week. I want to sign up. Once a month, I'm going to come. That would make a huge difference. And then they have people in there. They have 4 services. They have children. They have people in there that stay there all 4 services and take care of children all day. That ain't right. Especially with all the people we got. Okay? Look at the next one. Ministry to the least of these is not always calculated and planned. Ministry is not always predictable.
Well, you said I only had to do this one time.
Yeah, but you know, someone died. Or this person didn't show up. Or this person had a flat tire. Things happen. And you know what? I thought your life was surrendered to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to throw it on you to put a guilt trip on you, because if you have something to do, that's fine. But let's not cop attitude. I'm not saying you cop attitude, but when if you get a call, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute, I am a Christian and Jesus is, maybe he has something for me to do. Because let me tell you something, when God calls you to do stuff that's unexpectedly, it's amazing the stuff he does unexpectedly. God's not always going to warn you. Hey, tomorrow something's going to happen and this person's going to come and you're going to meet him at the mall and they're going to be crying and I want you to tell him this. He ain't going to warn you about that. He's already pre-warned you when you got saved by saying all bets are off. We need people, sound people, lighting people, video people, television people. Why? Because in about 18 months or so, maybe 20 months, we're going to be in a building that is it's going to have 3 times as many seats as this. And we're going to have big TV screens, HD stuff, cameras everywhere, lights, many times bigger than this. And we're going to need a whole team of people, not only volunteers, but on staff. We have to get ready for that now. Some of y'all are in marketing and PR. Some of you are in television and radio. Some of you are CEOs and presidents of companies. We need all of that talent. When we sit around and think about this ministry, we don't think, okay, well, how can we get a few more seats over there? We're strategizing for 20,000 and 30,000 people. That's what we're thinking about. And that ain't, you know, we're strategizing just like Qualcomm will strategize and put financial forecasts and strategies together and plans. We do the same thing. And we are looking for, always looking for people who are leaders, who are doing stuff, building companies, who understand those kind of things, vision, planning, staffing, human resources, finance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And some of you think, well, what can the church use for me? Call up. We have some very high-level executives that are involved in the church making very, very big multi-million decisions for this church that are very, very wise. And we can always use more. Because when we start going to television, we start wanting to reach the world through television, which we intend to do. That is not some little, you know, put a little cable thing and pay $2 for a video. It is going to be a monster. And the devil's going to come against us. Same thing. We need people who are professionals also. We have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. If you've been in drug or alcohol rehab, we have a ministry for that. Or if you need rehab, we can help you. But if you've been through rehab, why can't you go to a house that a person in this church bought on his own and has people living in it that he's ministering to who are recovering from drugs and alcohol? Has Bible study twice a week. They come to the church as part of the program. He just did it on his own. You can say, you know what? I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a recovering cocaine addict. I want to come minister to that person. Very simple. What a blessing to take your pain and the stuff you did wrong. And I, by the way, I use cocaine too, smoke where I wanted to in the past, so I know what it is. Have been there, and say, here's what I've been through, and go minister to these people. Next one. Oh, we have another ministry called Love 'Em Up Ministry. Everyone say Love 'Em Up. Love 'Em Up Ministry is a ministry to disabled people, all kind of handicaps, mental, physical, emotional handicaps. And they have a service in the middle of the week, and they bring a van load here every Sunday, but they can't, they only have one van. They have a service of 60 to 100 people every week. He goes all around San Diego and picks these people up. And then he can only bring a van. You may have a van. You may say, you know what? All I want to do is drive these guys and people to church every Sunday. You get to bring a whole van load of people that won't be going to church. Simple. Love them up. He had the Bible study in his house. His house burned down in the fires. He actually baptized these people in his jacuzzi. And his house burned down. He's still doing his ministry. He could easily say, oh, maybe God doesn't want me to do this. And all stuff the devil says, oh, maybe I should stop. No. He's like, phase two. Simple as that. Look at the next one. Ministry to the least of these provides everyday needs. Everyday needs. Effective ministry is often very simple. Food, water, spending time with someone. Very simple. You know what Jesus says? When I was hungry, you gave me food. Say amen if you have some food in your house that if someone really needed it, you can just give them right away. Amen. Ooh, say amen if you had a piece of clothing that you could just do without right now. Amen. You might even have extra clothing laying around in your car. There's a movie called The Diary of an Angry Black Woman. Is it an angry black woman? Okay. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go see it. I heard it's hilarious. And the guy who made the movie, he actually plays the woman. He actually plays his brother, the woman's brother in the movie, and he plays another. He plays three people in the movie. He actually produced the movie, paid for the movie with his own money, and he plays the parts. He has a 16,000 square foot home, this guy. 7 years ago, he was homeless. 7 years ago, he was homeless. He was abused as a kid by his father, physically abusive, and then his mother told him he was going to be a failure. And 7 years ago, he was homeless, and he saw Oprah one day on TV, and she says it's therapeutic if you write things down. He just started writing his thoughts down. He ended up writing plays, and he made $100 million in plays, and he made this movie just from writing his thoughts. The reason I bring that story up is because Oprah asked him the other day, what, when you got all your money and got all your success, what was the one thing you wanted to get? He says, all I wanted was shoes. Why? Because he only had one pair when he was homeless. And he says the heels were like this. That's all he wanted. One pair of shoes. I mean, he just wanted another pair of shoes. Now, it seems like a very simple thing. But sometimes it's the most simple things to you. And I was driving down the street one day at the airport, and I saw this guy on the corner asking for water. I had a bottle of water right there in my car. I rolled down my window, gave him the water, light turned green. As I was driving off, I saw this dude. He put his sign down. He sat on the curb, and he drank that water like it was the best thing he ever had. He was like he was at a meal in a restaurant. And I just watched him in the mirror as long as he just sat there. He didn't like, oh, la, la, la. He was like, that dude was so happy for that minute. It's so simple. We have a ministry called Bread of Life Ministry. They go out in the street twice a week, minister to homeless people. Bread of Life. They have a small group of people that go out. They actually went to Tijuana, fed 600 people who live in the dump there. Food, clothes, simple. It'll change you. I was at a meeting on February 17th, about 30 people, and the mayor was there. And I was determined to ask him a question. So I was waiting for my moment, and I went over to him. I said, Mr. Mayor, I have a question for you. I have an army of volunteers at the Rock. I hope. I was saying this by faith. If there is one need that this city has that we can help, what would that be? One thing, your biggest need.
Boy, I never thought about that before.
So let's think about it now. He said homeless. Homeless is a big problem in this city. Why can't we help? We have a ministry called Step Up Ministry. Step Up Ministry is a ministry providing mentors to kids in foster care. There are 7,000 kids in foster care. 7,000. Their homes changed, their parents changed, their doctors changed, their schools changed, but their mentor does not have to. And we have provided 30 so far. Lisa Walker started this ministry in June. There's 350 kids right now signed up waiting for a mentor. I went to a homeless school, Monarch School for Homeless Kids downtown, and I was there touring it with some other people. And we went into this classroom, and this young little boy came up to me and pulled on my jacket and said, are you a mentor? And I was like, I didn't know that they were looking for them. I didn't know that's what those kids thought. But they're just like, hey, my name's on the list. When is someone going to come and love me? You got a little time you can spend somebody? You know what? Just time. You don't need to spend a lot of money. Just time. Imagine you were 12, 10, 14, no dad, no mom. Who do you have? If you had a dad or mom, or dad or mom, you can't understand what it means to have neither. I don't even want to imagine that. But imagine how powerful your time can be to them. We have a ministry called Lifeline. Ministry Lifeline, they minister to elderly people in convalescent homes and nursing homes all over San Diego. There's 30 facilities they go to. They're in a facility every day. Imagine your grandma, your grandpa being in a facility and someone going there and sharing the gospel with them. That's what you could do. We have a ministry to prisons. Big August goes to prison 7 days a week. Let me encourage you with my whole heart. Go to prison. Go to prison. Go to prison and say, I want to go. He'll clankety clank and take you in. It will change. You don't have to do anything. Just go in there and talk to somebody. Trust me, driving to the prison will change your life. You will learn prayer. Walking through, you will learn prayer. Being in there, you will learn how to cry. And walking out, you will learn praise. Go to prison. He's in there every day. He sees white supremacists, black gang members, Mexican mafia, hugging and crying together. You won't see that anywhere but in church. Only God can do that. Bread of Life stepping up, Lifeline, prison. And lastly, it says, ministering to the least of these always brings eternal blessings. Always brings eternal blessings. Ministry to others is ministry to Jesus himself. Look at verse 40. Verse 40 says, the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Let me say this. Sometimes your most powerful encounter with Jesus Christ is while you are in the act of helping someone else. Sometimes some of the most powerful encounters with Jesus Christ is while you are in the act of helping someone else. Sometimes your most powerful encounter with Jesus Christ is when you are in the act of helping someone else. Why? It's because when you're in the act of helping someone else, many things have happened, one of which is he is flowing through you. When you're sitting in church and you're praying and reading, or you're by yourself studying, that's can be a very sweet and special time. But you're receiving. It's when you give that he's flowing through you. It's a whole different experience. It's a whole different experience. Now, am I telling you this because we're trying to get you to do something for the Rock? No. Even though we are. Why? Because we are here to do something. We're here to do something. If you go to another church, you need to go serve in your church. Or if you have a ministry outside this church that you serve in, great. Do it not only for the people you're going to help, but do it for the fulfillment of your own personal calling. So you can be fulfilling your life. Don't think that if you don't do this, you're going to be better off. You're not. You're going to be better off when you do it because you were created for that. I'm playing phone tag with a young man. I called him the other day. I heard he preaches on the streets of San Diego every Friday night. So someone told me about it, and I wanted to call him up and ask him if I can go out with him to observe. And so I called him yesterday, he called me back, and we're going to hook up. I left a message saying I want to come check you out and get some tips. He's 11 years old. 11. Another person came to me and told me that they wanted to, when I retired, take my job. So we had a meeting about it, and I asked this person, do you know what I do? You know, just we talked a little bit about. She's 7 years old. 7. What are you doing for God? Let go of your life. Now, I'm going to pray for you. And then I want to challenge all of you to walk out those doors. And there are tables out there with balloons. And pick something. Now, you have 21 days between now and Easter. You have the internet. You have a flyer in your bulletin about all these ministries. We got you coming and going. I want to challenge you to sign up. Even if you say, I'm going to do it for 2 months. You tell them, I'm only going to do it for 2 months. But I'm seriously going to let God show me what he wants me to do. But here's what I want to encourage you. As a Rock person, part of the army, the M means I minister somewhere. That's what it means. You don't want to be an Ari. That's army without the M. And after next week, you might not want to have the Y in your life. You may just be an R. A pirate. R. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, there are so many people who are in need. I pray that we would fulfill that need. And I pray that when you look down on us and call us to step up and do what you want us to do, we would do it. Dear God, I pray for the Rock. I pray we would be a church of action, a church of doers. Thank you for the faithful people in this church. Thank you for all the servants we have. Thank you for the growth we have. Thank you for the need for another service. And thank you for the volunteers who sacrifice so much to help so many people in this town. Thank you for all the ministries I didn't mention, because there are many more. Junior high, high school, college, on and on and on. And I pray that you would speak to people, and they would be persistent, and it would be unacceptable to them to not serve in their own heart, that they would not let the devil cheat them out of an opportunity, the greatest opportunity they have. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to leave real quick. So while they're singing, just stand up, if you will, and go that way.